Leading Britain's conversation. LBC with James O'Brien.
10 to 1 is the time, and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. You have had some amazing people on today, James, says Brandon. Can you imagine Boris Johnson being involved in a meaningful way with any of these conversations? And we wonder why things are going so badly. I don't know if that's entirely fair, but I'm grateful for the compliment. Of course, we are only ever as good as the people who contribute to the programme. Some do it voluntarily and randomly over the phone line. Some do it because we beg them and invite them to do so. And Simon Marks fits very neatly into that second category. Holy moly, you must be due a holiday. And the end is nigh, Simon Marks.
You know, I'm not sure the end is nigh, James O'Brien. I am not entirely sure the end is nigh. It's very tempting to think that as soon as Joe Biden takes the oath of office tomorrow here and makes his inauguration speech, and then in the evening does the rounds of the parties such as they are that are taking place here in these straitened COVID circumstances in which we live, it's very tempting to imagine that he's going to show up for his first full day in office on Thursday, and suddenly everything is going to return to some semblance of normalcy. But I don't get that sense. I mean, first of all, in absolutely concrete terms, quite literally, the blast barriers that are in place at every major traffic intersection all over Washington, D.C., the fence that now encircles the Congressional building, the heightened security that is underway, 21,000 National Guard troops on the streets of this city, four times the number of U.S. service personnel currently deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan combined, they're not all disappearing on Thursday morning. We are going to be in a new reality where the current president of the United States heads to Mar-a-Lago, his golf club in Florida, absolutely convinced that he is retaining political relevance and correct in the presumption that he's going to retain the support of tens of millions of Americans, even though the opinion polls show us that he's leaving with the lowest approval rating of any departing president from the White House. 29% approval rating in the latest survey. No president has scored worse on their way out of the door. But he doesn't really care about that because, as he's already demonstrated, he has this extraordinary following among millions of Americans who believe fervently the falsehood that Joe Biden is about to become an illegitimate president. I saw the former Secretary of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, who served in Barack Obama's administration, was on television over the weekend saying Americans would come to see the Trump presidency as a failed experiment. And this sort of goes to the heart of Joe Biden's presentation, that everything we're all going to realize that the Trump presidency has just been an aberration. I'm not convinced that Donald Trump thinks it has been a failed experiment at all. And I don't think his supporters, those here in the United States and perhaps the people behind the scenes in other countries who may have been pulling some of the strings, I don't think they look at 20,000 troops on an American city to guard the traditional peaceful transfer of power that lies at the very heart of America's constitutional arrangements. They look at the rubble that we're dealing with here, and I don't think they think this has been a failed experiment.
Well, do you know, to support your thesis, Sergei Lavrov yesterday, when discussing Alexei Navalny's return to Russia, talked about how the West are only making a fuss about it to distract from their own existential crisis. So the idea that some foreign regimes will consider it to be almost mission accomplished, let alone an aberration, is hard to resist. And I heard one Republican commentator earlier following a very similar theme to you and talking about the failure of senior Republicans to call out this final epic lie, the lie about the legitimacy of the election. And I wonder whether you think that would make much difference if you really did have a queue of household name Republican politicians doing what they should have done the morning after the election and describing Donald Trump as a massive, massive liar.
Yeah, but if you'd had that queue of Republicans doing it the day after the election, they presumably would have done it consistently throughout the last 4 years and not given him as much rope as he ever demanded. And by the way, what's going on behind the scenes in the Republican Party is the beginning of a purge of people who attempted to stand up to Donald Trump. We've read this morning that that in Michigan, one of the members of the election canvassing board, the Republican who in Michigan said, hang on a second, we can't continue taking actions to try and prove that an election that we all know wasn't fraudulent was fraudulent. Mm. They're moving to kick him off the canvassing board. They're moving to get rid of him because he betrayed the orthodoxy as it was being advanced by Donald Trump. Remember that the head of the Republican National Committee, Rona McDaniel, has just been re-elected for another term in office without any opposition. She is as loyal a Trump enabler as there has been out there over the last 4 years. So they're facing a massive existential crisis. The other thing I just think is worth underscoring is just this concept of traditions. It's not just the nature of the inauguration and the peaceful transfer of power that has been changed over the last few weeks. I've got in front of me this morning's bulletin from the White House that we get every single day, reporters here. Yes. Daily guidance and press schedule for Tuesday, January the 19th, 2021. It's the Bible that we all use to know what's going on. For example, today, we know that at some point President Trump is going to release a video that he has pre-recorded describing the legacy of his presidency. Let's put to one side the wag on Twitter who suggested it might only be 5 seconds long. There is a video coming out. Normally, we'd look at this White House schedule and we'd know when it was coming out. Instead, for I think about the 15th or 16th day running now, in fact, even longer than that, because it started over Christmas, the White House schedule simply reads, President Trump will work from early in the morning until late in the evening. He will make many calls and have many meetings. Now, at what point did they just decide we're not even going to pretend anymore? So the reporters here, everybody here has no real idea what his plans are for the last day in office. Clearly we're going to get a raft of pardons. Clearly we're going to get that video about his legacy. Even, you know, the details of his departure from the White House tomorrow morning, we've surmised when he's leaving. But there's been no detailed explanation of how all that's going to play out. It's absolutely extraordinary to see these fundamental traditions of a functioning democracy just brought to their knees.
I mean, you've covered every step of ground that I could have asked you to, and you've come in for 30 seconds under time.
Can I give you a movie recommendation?
Yeah, go on.
I watched last night, just by chance, a film that is just fantastic called Jimmy Carter, Rock and Roll President. Have you seen it?
No, I'll have it. Could you want one back in return?
Yes, absolutely.
Got what's it called? The Chicago 7.
With Eddie it was fantastic. Have you seen that? Isn't that
my 14-year-old insisted that I watch it, believe it or not, and she was absolutely right. Go on, what's the Jimmy Carter one?
Well, it's all about the influence of music on Jimmy Carter, and particularly his relationship with Willie Nelson and the Allman Brothers Band. But there's also all sorts of scenes in there that pertain to his inauguration and this extraordinary moment when John Wayne, a real conservative Republican, John Wayne shows up at the big inauguration event that's held that night for Jimmy Carter, and he takes to the stage and he basically says, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a supporter of yours. But I'm here to pledge that you are my president, and
good
I wish
grief.
You luck. And you just watch that, and you think, I can't even believe I'm watching events that took place in the same country where we are now, where Melania Trump, the First Lady of the United States, hasn't had the decency to call Jill Biden, invite her over for a cup of tea to the White House, and engage in any of the traditions that underpin what this country is supposed to be all about.
She did, however, achieve her stated aim of getting rid of online bullying, though, Simon.
Yeah, marvellous success for the best.
Swings and roundabouts, be best. Simon Marks will be with you throughout the day on LBC as that astonishingly arresting analysis edges ever closer to reality. That's it from me for another day. We'll do it again tomorrow morning from 10. The next voice you will hear on LBC belongs to Sheila Fogarty.